Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Today, Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, very familiar passages this morning, but just want to bring us something and hopefully encourage you today in the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 18, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." Praise God. I'm glad to be in his hand. In the book of James, chapter 1, in verse 4, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." I'd like to preach this morning for a few moments on this thought, the best version of yourself, the best version of yourself. Let's pray together today. Lord, we love you and thank you, honor you today. What a privilege to be your children, to be called after your name, to be filled with your spirit, and now to be in your presence, Lord, to hear your word. Help us today, God, let our hearts be good ground for the word of God. Let it change us and challenge us today, make us better. We're going to praise you for it, God. Give you honor and glory, for you alone are worthy of it all. We ask you to bless these things today in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Would you clap your hands and give a shout to God this morning? Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for the Lord? You may be seated. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. The best version of yourself. You know, everybody wants to be the best version that they can be of themselves. And we do a lot of things in this life to try to facilitate that. And it can be, you know, we can break it down into categories. We want to be our best, of course, for the Lord. And so we work hard at studying his word and praying and fasting, doing the things that the scripture says, doing our best to walk humbly with him and keep all the commandments and do those things, fear God. And we do that. We want to be the best version of ourselves. But, you know, a lot of it is natural. People go on diets, they fitness regimens and things. They want to be healthy. They want to feel good. They want to look good. They, you know, they maybe try a new hairstyle. They may start dressing a little different. You know, different things like that, just trying to be the best version of themselves. Maybe they work on their education or maybe their job. They want to be the best version of themselves. Maybe they're working on their marriage. They want to be the best spouse that they can be or you know, going into counseling for things so that they can be a better father, a better husband, a better friend, just a better person, whatever it might be. We want to be the best version of ourselves. And even before maybe we know the Lord, we want to be better. We try to be better maybe sometimes just to get through life and you know, have respect of people sometimes. And often we do it for a little bit of pride, a little bit of ego that we want people to notice us, acknowledge us, and so we try to be better. But I can tell you this, that you'll never be a better person than you are before God comes on the scene. I don't know No matter how good we think we were before God, we're never better before God than we are after God. Never. I don't care what it wrecks in your life when you come to God, you're never better before God than after God. And a lot of people will tell you, when I came to God, I flipped my world upside down. I can amen that. Everything that I ever did before was no longer part of my lifestyle. It was like I really was a newborn, a babe. I was born again, and this was newness of life. And I had to figure out how to navigate now in this and be the best version of myself. But God's always been involved in the shaping of lives. He created man in his image. He had an idea about man before he ever formed him, and he created him. Philippians 1 and 6 tells us that we can be confident of this very thing, because he that has begun a good work in you will perform it. Work in you. God is working on you. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, that it is by the grace of God I am what I am. God is involved. And that's what I want to tell you today. You were never a better person before God started working on you. Don't ever think, I'm going to go back to a better life. You won't go back to better. Paul said, if we draw back, we draw back into perdition. We don't want to draw back. We don't want to go in reverse. We want to keep moving forward in the Lord. And we want to be a better version, and we want to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. But to do that, we have to remember that we are complete in Him. You're not going to be a better person without the Lord in your life. You're not going to be a better person by ignoring Him, by ignoring His Word, by ignoring His house. The Scripture says we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need each other. We need the fellowship of the brethren. We need to be in fellowship with those of like faith. We need somebody that can stand with us in prayer, that can stand with us as we walk this road with God. Most of all, we need to keep our eyes on Him. Let me tell you, I was never, not for one little bitty instant, better before I came to Him. There was never a gleam that I was better anyway, in any shape or form, before I came to Him. All of it was sin. All of it was lost. All of it was iniquity. All of it was undone. Until the blood of Jesus got involved in my life, there was no way for me to ever be the best version of myself. I could better myself in the world. I could exercise and work out. I could look better, get the right haircut. You know, I could get my teeth fixed. I could do all those kind of things. I could wear the right cologne. I could drive the right car. I could have the right house. I could have the right job. I could have this money. But I would never, ever be able to do enough to be the best version of myself, because that only comes through Him. We will never be more like Him. Let me tell you, man was at his best when he was first created, before anything happened. That's when he was, when God got involved. Adam was nothing but dust on the ground. Scoop him up and blow him away. He was nothing but dust on the ground until God got involved. And God formed him and breathed into him, and he became the living, breathing image of God. Then he was the best version of himself. Not after he was created and formed. God needed to breathe into him. God needed to put something in him. God needed to be involved with him. God needed to work in his life to make Adam be the best version of himself. And as long as Adam was adhering, there was no sin in the world at that time, and Adam was following and obeying the commandment that God had given him, Adam and Eve, they were absolutely the best versions of themselves ever. Ever. Until they fail. And we will never, ever be the best version of ourselves without Him. I'm not saying that we're going to ever be faultless. that we're never going to make mistakes. Let me tell you, the best version of yourself is the kind of person that when they make the mistake, they repent. God has provided ways for us to be the best versions of ourselves. He granted repentance unto us so that we could change course and get back to Him whenever we start drifting and moving sideways. If we didn't know Him, He said, I got a way for you to know me. You can be born again. You can repent of your sins. You can be baptized in my name. You can be filled with my Spirit. I can wash you whiter than snow. I can take away your sin, because you can't cleanse yourself from this iniquity unless except you take heed to my word. And I've got to be involved for you to be the best version of yourself. And so I see this potter, that Jeremiah, he goes to the potter's house, and the Lord said, I want you to see what's happening, then I'm going to give you a word. But when I read through it slowly, he says, I see the potter making, he has wrought a work on the wheels. There it is, and the work is in his hand. It's between those hands. But the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. It being marred did not take it away from the potter. He didn't lose control of it when it was marred. He didn't take his hands off of it when it was marred. And I want you to hear that today, that God still got you in His hand. Life could be doing something that's turned you upside down right now, and you could be struggling with something that you feel like, my life has been marred, but I want you to know that you're still in the grasp of the potter. You're still in the creative hands of the master, that as the clay has been marred and it looks like it's spinning out of control, but the master still got his hand on it. He pulls his hands away, it just slings everywhere. But as long as he's got his hands, he can rein it in. He can put his hands around it. He can form it back. And it says, so he does this and he makes it again. You're not done. Let him make you again. Let him make you again. He can make all things new. I've said this before. It may never be the same, but it can always be new. It might never be like it was, but it can always be new. And sometimes we handicap ourselves by longing for days gone by when God's got something new for you today. When God's got something new for your life right now, you think, if it could just be like it was then, friend, why don't you let Him make it new today? Why not today, don't you stay under the hand of the potter and let Him make you again? Let Him make you the best version of yourself, because you'll never be able to mend it on your own, and we'll never be able to fix it by ourselves. But if we'll stay under the hand of the potter, He can make us new again. The Savior said it in the very end of the book. We always say, oh, I've read the end of the book, and we win. You want one of the greatest statements at the end of the book? Is behold, I make all things new. Let me tell you, He can make you new again. Somebody ought to lift their hands and thank God. He's not done with you. He doesn't throw the clay away and go get another batch of it or another lump. He says, I can work with this if it'll stay under my hand. He said, I'll make it as I see good to make it. And then the word of the Lord told the prophet, he said, cannot I do with you as this potter? Can't he do that same thing with us if we would let him? Don't you know that he could mold you and shape you? Don't you know that he can heal you and deliver you? Don't he know that he can mend you and touch your mind and touch your heart? That he can make you whole in your emotions. He can make you whole in your spirit. He can make you whole in your body. He can make you whole in your faith. He can make you whole in your walk. That's what God can do. That's how you become the best version of yourself, by staying under the hand of the master. It It was the Lord that said, no man can pluck them from my hand. And I've always loved that, but I've always understood that he said, but they can step out. You can walk away from God. You can step out of his hand. You can get away from him and get away from the will of God in your life and the work of God in your life. And suddenly you realize, I'm not the same as I was. I'm not that best version of myself anymore. How many knows when we start ignoring the things of God that we are no longer the same as we were? That's where that longing for days go by come from. All of a sudden, well, we're not praying like we should. And so we're wondering, why am I struggling? When's the last time you read? When's the last time you've been on a fast? When's the last time that you got down and cried with tears and sought God? How long has it been since you spent time with him? Because the blessed man is a person who he delights himself in the law of the Lord, meditates in it day and night. He said, he's like a tree planted by the river. He's the best version of himself as long as he stays in contact with God. But it's when we drift that we begin to see that old man creeping back up, that flesh beginning to take over again, and no longer are we the best version of ourselves. I want to be the best version that I can be. And the Lord said, cannot I do with you as this potter is doing with this natural clay? See how he's making that new again? Can't I do that? Don't you understand that I can still do that? He said, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. What a great and powerful and encouraging statement today, that I am still in his hand. But I made a mistake, but I'm still in his hand. I fell down, but even the scripture says, though a good man fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the hand of the Lord upholds him. And let me tell you, God is involved in our life, and he never, ever, would he love it if we would never make a mistake? I'm sure he would, but he knows that we will. He remembers our frame, that we are dust, and he remembers that the first man was made from dust, and I breathed into him, and he was living soul, and yet he still made a mistake, but I love him, and I loved him, and I didn't destroy him. Sure, there were consequences, but I still loved him. And God still loves you today. And you can make a mistake sometimes, and you can fall sometimes, but that doesn't mean that you're cast away, that everything's gone. You're still in his hand. You are in my hand. Israel had been disobedient. Israel had prayed to other gods. Israel had involved themselves with things of the world, and yet God said, you're still in my hand. And I'm thankful today that we're still in his hand. And God is able today to make us the best version of ourselves, no matter who we've been. When I think about the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, that just sounds bad. That's Saul of Tarsus. You hear that, you think he's trouble. And he was. He was a persecutor of the church. He stood by and he watched the men stone Stephen to death, held their coats, and he was locking people up and causing them to blaspheme the name of the Lord, and just thought he was doing the work of the Lord. He was not the best version of himself until God got involved. And guess what comes out of this session with God? Paul the preacher. He gets knocked down on the road, and God gets involved in his life, and he reveals to him who he is, and he tells him what he can do with him. He says, you're going to be a chosen vessel for me, and you're going to suffer things for my name, and it's going to happen. And Paul said, fine, I'll do it. Yes, sir. He gets filled with the Holy Ghost. He's baptized in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, we've got the greatest preacher, evangelist of the New Testament just comes out on fire for God, proving that Jesus was the Christ and converting people, signs, wonders, miracles, talking in tongues, starting churches, all these things. He was on the potter's wheel. He never got out from under God's hand. He was still in his hand. And Paul would even say, the things I counted gain, I counted them loss. The things that were gained to me, I counted them loss. I counted them filth so that I could win Christ. I want to be the best version of myself that I can be. And it won't be by going my own way. It won't be by going on my own zeal. But if I'll listen to the Lord, I can be the best version of myself. 2 Corinthians, Paul would write the statement, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's something different about us once we become his. It doesn't mean we won't ever get tarnished. It doesn't mean we won't ever get some wear and tear on us as we walk this walk. But we're new creatures. The old creature quits, but the new creature knows I can count on God. The new creature knows God won't throw me away. The new creature knows I can repent. I can confess my faults and I can be restored and I can be healed and I can be made whole. But it's the flesh that says, he don't love you no more. He don't want nothing to do with you no more. It's that old flesh that tries to get you to run away from God and hide from God. But it's the spirit man that says, don't run, don't hide, but confess, fall on your face, worship the King, worship the Creator, worship the Potter. You're still in his hand. You're a new creature. Old things, old ways, old thoughts, old ideas are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The way I think is new. The world will teach you to think like this. If you make a mistake, nobody will ever forgive you. Nobody will like you. You'll always be marked. But this new way of living tells you, if you make a mistake, God will forgive it if you confess it. If your desire is to serve him, then he's like, come on, let's get busy. Let's keep going. That's the best version of yourself. You'll never be the best version of yourself without him. But if you get in Christ, you will be a new creature. And old things, old habits, old ways, old thoughts, old voices. That's a big one. Those old voices that call from somewhere out of the dark, trying to pull you back to a place that he called you out of with his marvelous light. When God gets involved, your past and the old things won't matter anymore because they are passed away. They are buried now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture says we are raised up out of this watery grave to walk in the newness of life. We are new creatures, friend. We are the best version of ourselves. If we ever want to get back to the best version of ourselves, then we follow him to the grave. We identify with him through the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the best version. It will always be after he gets involved. It will always be involved after we yield to him. In Romans 6 and 16, Paul said this, don't you know that who you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. And it's either going to be of sin unto death, that's not your best self, or of obedience unto righteousness, that's the best version of yourself. Who are you giving power to in your life? Who are you yielding to on a day-to-day basis? Who has your ear? Who has your heart? Who has your mind? Who are you yielding to? Who has your eyes? Who are you looking at? Where are you watching? What are you doing? Who are you yielding to? Because whoever you yield to, that's who you serve. No matter if you know God or not, it's who you yield to that will determine what version of yourself you're going to see. In Romans 6 and 21, he said, what fruit had ye in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. When you start taking inventory of those things that you were involved in, you realize they add up to nothing but death. And we're actually ashamed to talk about those things. And it shames us when we think that God knows all about that, but he still loves us anyway. It humbles us. And he said, what fruit was there? How did it prosper you? How did it bless you? What fruit did you have? It's just death. But now, be made free from sin and become servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness. In other words, you're like Him. Be holy because He's holy. And you're like Him, and you're in His image. And the end of that is everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. That is not your best image. That is not your best self. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the best version of yourself that you'll ever see. We don't have to be ashamed. There's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ. We don't have to hide our face in shame anymore because we know we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We know that we can confess our faults and He's faithful to forgive us of our faults. And then we live our life and it's joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. And they see us shout and they see us run and they see us leap and people see this born again, victorious version, and they think, man, they ain't got no problems at all. It's just all easy, does it? It just happens. Life just happens great for them. Somebody ought to go, ha. Let me tell you something. This version of who you are today, it did not come easy. That's why James said, let patience have her perfect work. It was made possible by the sacrifice, first of all, of Jesus Christ. That was not easy. But this version of you that exists today, it did not come easy. It did not come without struggle. It did not come without sacrifice. It did not come without death. We must die to sin and become alive unto God. Many that we read about in Scripture endured hardness to be the ones that we read about. It's always been like that. In the book of Genesis, there's a story of Joseph. And when we read about Joseph, you know, a lot of times we think about Joseph the Savior because he was the Savior of Egypt. And Scripture says he was the Savior of much people because of his interpretation of the destruction that was coming and the dreams that Pharaoh had, and he provided the plan that saved so many. But to become this best version of himself, he had to go through some things. In Genesis 37 and 18, Joseph is on his way to, he has told his brothers and his parents about his dreams, how that in his dreams, just to paraphrase, they would all one day bow down to him. And his brothers hated him because of his dreams. They hated him because the father loved him very much. And so they just could not stand Joseph. But he was sent by his father to check on his brethren. It says, when they saw him far off, even before he came near, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, the dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, cast him in some pit. We'll just say an evil beast has devoured him. Then we'll see what will become of his dreams. Let's just kill him and see what will become of his dreams. In chapter 42, after many other things, verse 5, it says that his brothers, the sons of Israel, came to buy corn. So now these people that conspired against him, that threw him in the pit, they're starving. And they come to buy corn. For the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came, bowed themselves. Hey, Joseph, what became of them dreams? They came true. That's what became of them. Because just like he said, now they're bowing down before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brethren and he knew them, but he made himself strange unto them and he spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. The best version of Joseph wasn't when he was wearing the coat of many colors. The best version of Joseph wasn't when he got the dreams. The best version of Joseph came because he was betrayed by his brethren. He was then put into a pit so he could be sold as a slave, so he could be bought by Potiphar, so he could be lied on by Potiphar's wife, so he could be cast into a prison because of that lie, then be forgotten about by the men that he helped get out of prison, and finally he was remembered and he was brought to the palace. Joseph the dreamer was not complete. He was a work in progress. He was in God's hand. He was in God's hand when he was in the pit. He was in God's hand when he was in slavery. He was in God's hand in the prison, and he was under God's hand when he was at the palace. He was a work of God's hand, and he was being made new with every situation so he could see the end of the dream. To be the best version of himself, he went through some things. To be the best version that he could be for the kingdom, he went through some things. Somebody had to get to Egypt. Somebody that could interpret dreams had to get there, and the only path was through the pit, through the prison, to get to the palace. And I want to tell you today that to be the best version of yourself for the kingdom of God, you're going to go through some things. You're going to learn about some things. You might get betrayed. You might get lied on. You might get put in a spiritual prison. You might feel like you're doing spiritual time right now. But let me tell you, one day with haste, the king is going to call you and say, "Come up. I have need for what you've been through. I have need for what you can do." And he called him out of the prison. And it was Joseph. There was only one man more powerful than Joseph in Egypt, and that was Pharaoh. And even Pharaoh listened to the counsel of Joseph. Joseph became the best version of himself by staying under the hand of God. I mean, he could have, at any time, he could have tried to do something else. He could have acted out in prison. He could have took Potiphar's wife's offer. He could have said, "Hey, I'm a guy. Nobody here but us. Who's going to know?" He could have just done anything, but he would not betray God. He would not betray his master. He said, "I'm going to stay under the master's hand." And the only way for Joseph, they needed Joseph, the Joseph of chapter 42. That's who they needed. And the only way to get him there was to go through the things that he went through. He was still in God's hand, and he became the best version that he could be. This one place the scripture says, "You have heard of the patience of Job." And we know how Job, how his life, how it's the first two chapters are rough. He goes through a lot, and we talk about Job and the patience of Job. And I quoted it already today, "God knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I'll be gold. Gold and he's, you know, the Lord gives, the Lord takes." Well, we quote all these positive things that Job is saying, and in the end, in chapter 42, "And God blessed the latter end of Job greater." But you don't get the Job of chapter 42 without Job of 1 through 41. He had to go through these things, and he had to make those statements. "I will not let go of my integrity. I'm not going to curse God. I'm not going to sin with my mouth. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to stay under his hand." And the reason Job was blessed greater at the latter, and the reason Job became the best version of himself, was because he stayed under the hand of the potter. To be the best version of yourself, there may be some fiery furnaces. There may be some den of lions. But both of those that seem like terrible places were pathways to promotion for God's children. These tests are not meant to diminish you or your calling. They are to refine you and to perfect you. One place he said, "I have chosen you out of the furnace of affliction." The best version of you and the process it took to get you there is a testimony. And we need that testimony. We needed a Job. Today, you and I, we need Job. Because we need to be able to look at his testimony and see what he faced and what he went through. See his answer. See how he stood. See his resilience. See his integrity. Learn how do I make it through. We needed Job. Job doesn't know that. He has no idea that the world would still even be in existence in this time. But he's going through it. I wonder if Job has any idea how many billions of messages have been preached about him. How many times today around the world is the name Job popping up in churches all over the place? Because why talk about Job? Because of what he went through and because how God blessed him and the way he got there and the way he became the best version of himself was to stay under the hand of God. And your name might not be in this book, but it might be in his book. And we need your story. There's somebody that you've yet to meet that needs to hear about how you came through. There's somebody that needs to hear how you fought, how you might have fallen, but then you got up and you kept going for God. Friend, let me tell you, you don't have to always be ashamed and try to hide those things. When God delivers you, friend, that's a victory. We might slip, we might slide, we might even fall flat on our face. But if we get up and keep going for God, tell somebody, you can get up too, because I've gotten up many times. Many times I've fallen, many times I've failed. But friend, God has always been faithful to pick me up. And so I'm the best version of myself that I can be today, only when I stay under the hand of God. We need stories of transformation. We need stories of endurance. We need stories of falls and failures and redemption. And we need the victories. We need to hear what you've been through. We need to see you still going for God, because it's going to encourage us. I tell stories of people that have long passed away. I tell things that God did for them, just like I'm preaching out of this book right here. Because they were just as important to God as these people were. He died for them just like he died for them. And so I tell them about things that Brother Eberhardt went through. I tell them about things that some of these early pioneers preaching the gospel went through, and that Brother Montgomery and some of them went through, how they whipped him and beat him because he was baptizing people in Jesus' name. But he didn't care. He just kept doing it. We become the best versions of ourselves when we stay under the hand of God. Everything you go through is to teach you, to mature you, to build your faith and your trust in God. In this time, in this season, in this process, you are learning. You know, when Joseph was in prison, you know, it was one thing when he was a slave in the house of Potiphar. Everything was being blessed, and Potiphar was like, this is great. But then he gets lied on, he gets thrown in prison. And Joseph had been very discouraged, but it was evident, even to the jailer, that the hand of the Lord's on this guy. And so he just let Joseph run the prison, and he sat back and just enjoyed it. Because everything that Joseph did, even in prison, God was blessing him. Because he was still, even in prison, he was still under God's hand. And in God's hand, and God was saying, oh, now, all right. Now I'm making you into something else. You've been forgotten. You interpreted the dream of the baker and the butler, and you said, now when you get out of here, remember me. And they cold forgot you. And now here you are, depressed, probably sad about being forgotten. And so I'm molding you, because there's about to be a knock on the door. Bring that dream interpreter. I need him. I need him. And so I'm changing you once again, because you got to fit this next role. And here comes Joseph. They clean him up and they bathe him and they shave him and they bring him in front of Pharaoh, and he interprets the dreams. And then, man, he gets a wife. Now he's got kids. He's going to have kids. He's blessed. He's got all the finest things. He's feeding people, saving people, doing exactly what God ordered him to do. Why? Because he stayed under the hand of God. In this season you're in, you're learning. growing. You're getting better. Don't give up. Let's come to the music this morning. I was thinking about this message this morning. I just had sat back and kind of shut my eyes for a minute, and it's just like these words came. Said, just like that piece of coal that endures years of intense pressure to become a diamond. You can't just take a piece of coal and you squeeze it for a minute and it's got to go through a process of intense pressure and change, but it becomes such a valuable diamond. Just like the olive that is crushed to make the oil for the anointing. That's where you're at right now. There's not anything wrong. That pressure is making something out of you. That crushing is making something in your life. You're becoming the best version of yourself by what you're going through. The scripture said, we will be marred in the hand of the potter so that we can be made into the vessel that he desires us to be. So we can be the best version of ourselves, so we can be the church that this world needs. There's a process to see the miracle that God has promised. Stand with me this morning. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Paul would say, and we know. How do we know it? Because we've been through it. Just leave that scripture up for a minute. How do we know, Paul? Well, Paul, you could read his list of, I've been stoned and left for dead. I've been beaten with rods. I've been in the deep 3 days and three nights in the deep. I've been shipwrecked. I've been persecuted. I've been chased. I've been lied on. I've been imprisoned. I've had serpents jump out of the fire and latch onto my hand. I mean, it's never ending, the things that I've gone through. And yet I'm still accomplishing everything God wants me to do. So I know that all things work together for good. The Lord told Paul, you're going to go to Rome, Paul. You're going to testify in Rome just like you did in Jerusalem. That's what you're going to do that. But just like Joseph, the dreams never showed him the pit or the betrayal or the lied on or the prison. The dreams didn't include that. They just showed people bowing down and worshiping. Man, everybody's like, hey. It'll be a good life. But you hadn't seen the road to get there. And if he'd have showed him that, he might have aborted the process. No, sir. But Paul, you're going to Rome, so he gets in this ship. And then they're shipwrecked. And then they're cast on a certain island. And while they're there, he has a serpent try to take him out, but he just shakes it off in the fire. Showing those that are watching, God still got his hand on me. Look, when it grabs you, just shake it off in the fire. Let people see God still got you. And the chief of that island, those people were so good to him, and the chief got very sick and was not well at all. And Paul came in and laid his hands on him and healed him. They needed the island. They needed the place to stay. And God said, you know what? I'm going to have to shipwreck you because somebody's got to get to this island. But Paul did end up in Rome. It was just a shipwreck and an island and a serpent in between. Paul said, I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. When God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, purpose was also birthed into your life to be the light of the world. To be the salt of the earth, to be a vessel for him. So think it not strange. Endure the hardness as a good soldier. Count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations. The best version of you is in the works. Finally, Paul would say, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The problem with this scripture is this. is that when people say, read well-doing, they think that means a perfect person. Don't get weary in being a perfect person. That's not what it said. It said, don't get weary in well-doing. Bunch of imperfect people doing good stuff. Bunch of imperfect people getting up, dusting off, and serving the Lord. A bunch of imperfect people saying, God's not finished with me, and this ain't the best version. We always say the best is yet to come. This ain't the best version of me yet, but you're about to see it, because I'm going to get up. When I fall, I shall arise. Don't get weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. The reward's coming. So embrace it. Embrace the miracle. Believe it. Embrace it and see it happen. Our best versions come after God gets involved. And today he's knocking on the door, calling us to repentance once again, calling us to new birth, calling us to new life, calling us to be a new creature, calling us to be the best versions of ourselves. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name today, the water is ready for you to do that. There's water, and that can happen. If you haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost today, that can happen. You can be the best version of yourself. You can be that new creature. You can be born again. It can happen today. But if you are that born again child of God, but you've slipped, you fail, you made some mistakes, or you're just struggling, you're going through a hard time, it's a desert place, it seems like, in your life right now, I encourage you today to find a place in this altar. Get yourself under the hand of the potter and say, Lord, make of me what you will, but I'm not getting off this wheel. I'm going to stay right here under your hand. God, I don't understand what you're doing right now. I can't figure out how what you said then equals to where I'm at right now. But I realize we're not there yet. We hadn't got there yet. We're not in the palace yet. We're not in that fullness of this calling yet. So I don't understand how what you said 2 years, 3 years, 5, 10 years ago equals where I'm at right now. But I'm going to keep going, because I want to see where you're taking me. I want to be the best version of myself. Would you come?
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.